around me. In the wall-to-wall prison of my city, flickering dirty neon over alleys mean and dirty streets, while my neighborhood
Hello,
is
everybody.
Torn down
this is
around
Michael C.
Me.
Rupert, Tracker the of Truth. Here with you at a very warm nightclub at the end of the world today, Sunday, June the 9th of 2013. We have another solstice approaching. I spent Friday and Saturday just doing a ton of grieving and very, very depressed, and I recognized it for what it was. I don't know exactly what triggered it. First, there was good news that the San Onofre nuclear power station has been, they're going to shut it down permanently. Of course, it'll take only 60 years to decommission, but they aren't going to try to turn that rusty old rust bucket back on again. And I used to drive by there on the hot summer days like this. That was where I grew up. And then, of course, there was a mass shooting in Santa Monica, and I totally accept the account of the way and how the events transpired, that there was one suspect, that he was killed. We still don't know the why. His name is John Zawahiri, which is, I think, is cute. Only for the educated people would remember the name Ayman al-Zawahiri. But I'm not reading too much into that. We want to know what happened there, where he came from, what his motive was, and that's the big hole. But I've looked at the shooting, and kudos to the first responders. I saw it handled very well. I've looked at the accounts, and I applaud the transparency of police and local media in displaying so much photographic evidence over a crime scene that spanned, I guess, about 2 miles. And so there's many, many witnesses, but I think that was handled well. We don't know the answers to the darker questions about what motivated the man or what kind of antidepressant he was on. But that hit home. That was home for me. And when I started talking about the collapse of human industrial civilization in 2001, these were the streets that I lived on, and this was the world that I was trying to save. And boy, does it make a difference when you hear the addresses and the locations and you go, I could have heard the gunshots, I could have been there. And it does make a difference, and that's unique to all of us. And I hope that's a sign that maybe we're all sensing now that we are connected extraordinarily to all of these events, but especially to events in Turkey. There are record-breaking, monstrous, almost biblical floods in Europe. The Danube and the Elbe are running amok. Prague is underwater. Huge damage in Germany and Hungary, and it's going to make its way down, I'm sure, to Romania. And yet we have record-breaking heat here in the western United States. I went outside today. It was 112 degrees here. That's what the thermometer said. Also, 112, a record-breaking day in Las Vegas, people. So all of that stuff that Guy McPherson and we have learned from climate collapse is well underway. I'm not going to over-elaborate on the news tonight. We have a lot to do, and Carolyn Baker is with us. There was one headline, I think, that kind of leads us into where we're going. Before I set some space here, it was a Reuters story. Headline said there are zero options for the U.S. government to refuse corporate demands. No, that's the way I should have written the headline. What the headline was few options for companies to defy U.S. intelligence demands. Remember that Mussolini said that fascism should more properly be called corporatism because of the perfect merger of power between the corporation and the state. There are no lines anymore, and that's becoming clear. Now, with that being said, Carolyn Baker is a regular here. She fills in for me when I have to be away. She was a psychotherapist for 17 years. That may come in handy tonight. And she also taught psychology and history in many colleges for over 10 years. She manages Speaking Truth to Power. Her website is carolynbaker.net. She's something of an institution now. And that said complimentarily, she's the author of 5 books, including a book I love, Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse from 09, and her newest book, Navigating the Coming Chaos. She's everywhere and here all the time. She's a good friend to have, and I'm going to set some space here in a minute, but I wanted to introduce her and invite her in before I play a clip to help set some space. Carolyn, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Mike. It's always a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to our conversations tonight.
Yeah, I think we're going to have some fun. We're also going to take calls pretty quickly. But what I want to do, and as you know, In any sacred spiritual ceremony, there's always something done to open the ceremony, to create and hold the space. And I thought I would use my one song tonight to do that and invite you in to do that, so that we can all participate in this with our emotions fresh and create and hold the space that we hope will take us through the show. Without much ado, this is an amazing video you can find on YouTube, but it's an amazing piece of music with voiceover. It's called Tempo di Scagliere, Tempo di S-C-E-G-L-I-E-R-E. And I think you may recognize the music, I think I do, from the movie The Gladiator. The voices over this belong to Alex Collier, Daryl Anka, and Don Alejandro of the Mayan people. We will roll this tape, and I ask you all just to join into the space that this clip invites you to come into. Let's go.
We need to make some changes. We need to create the space for us to be free enough to explore those possibilities. We cannot do that with the power structure that's in existence today. So we need to create another domain of knowing. And that begins with yourself. The love that you withhold is the pain that you carry lifetime after lifetime. And it all begins with us, each one of us individually. So this is our moment. This is our moment as a humanity, as a race, to really decide, are we or are we not going to unite as one? Are we or are we not going to watch each other's back? Are we or are we not going to stop taking crap from bureaucracy? We have to make a decision, and that decision is upon you. And you're going to be forced very, very soon to make a decision. Okay, the time is now, and all it does is it starts with you, just to make a decision, okay, to do something, to be radical, to be a rebel again. Most of us guys in this audience, we know what that's like, being a rebel. We grew up shooting guns, chewing toast into the shape of a pistol, okay, rescuing the damsel, excited about the next adventure. We know about that. You know, that's part of who we are. We are not domesticated lap dogs. We're just not. And I'm not going to be. And I'm not talking about going out and causing crimes. I'm talking about defending yourself, your liberties, your rights, your family, and your community. Because nobody else is going to do it for you. In fact, they're all working against us. And even they don't realize what they're doing. They really don't. Because so much information is compartmentalized. They don't realize the big picture. But many people are waking up very, very quickly. And I know I'm preaching to the choir in that. But it's amazing to see how many people are waking up and questioning everything. Okay? This is our moment. ever. The Earth will be going through some transitions because we will be crossing the galactic plane. And the galactic plane has an intense magnetic gravitational field. There will be changes. It's inevitable. Mr. Green touched on some of that yesterday. Okay, and others have talked about this as well. Okay, it's going to happen. So you need to start thinking about, where do I really want to be? Okay, if it's here, fine. Make the best of it. But create your space of independence. Don't take it for granted anymore. You can't.
Down through the ages to guide you, to remind you. But because of the disconnection in your consciousness, it didn't always take. But a few people here and there would get it. Until such time as now you have arrived at a place where you finally are beginning to understand what was said by all those reflections over the course of your so-called history. All right?
But in the time of the 12 Bactun,
13 Ahau,
and 13 Ahau,
el regreso de los abuelos,
it is the return of the ancestors,
el retorno de los hombres sabios,
it is the return of the men of wisdom,
que amanezca,
let the morning come,
que llegue la aurora,
let the dawn come,
para que los pueblos tengan paz,
for the people to be happy,
sean felices,
and find peace and be happy.
Así es, pues, que el soy acá con ustedes, dejando este mensaje, que tomen gran miedo al mundo.
Now that we are in this space and we hold it together, let me just say, as I welcome Carolyn Baker here, that tonight the people of Turkey are standing in a unique spot. It is my belief that they hold in their hands and with their incredible courage and vision the future of our entire species. And what's more, I believe that many of our species are quickly coming to realize that. People of Turkey, of course, Tayyip Erdogan has proved himself to be an absolute jerk, doing everything he can to inflame the situation and antagonize. He will be brutal and he will be back. So the battle lines have been drawn, but the Turkish people are fighting back in economic ways that are brilliant, taking on financial institutions and causing real harm to the corporate powers that were in Turkey. I'm not going to name those because it's not important. You know them. The Turkish people already know what they're doing. They're showing the way. What you need to answer out there in the audience tonight is what institutions and how you're going to fight back when your turn comes to stand in your own Tuxim Square. Carolyn Baker, welcome to the space. What do you bring out of all of this?
Well, I bring an experience that I had recently that was very hopeful and very inspiring. As you know, I attended the Age of Limits conference in Artemis, Pennsylvania over Memorial Day weekend. I'll be very brief in my report. We had about 140 people from a variety of locations. Some names are familiar to listeners. We had Albert Bates, who shared a history of us with the farm in Tennessee. It's been in existence for about 40-some years or more. He showed photos of the farm in its very early beginnings as a hippie commune to what it's now become as a solid community of enterprising folks who've sustained themselves over the years and are engaged in a number of sustainable enterprises together.
Mm-hmm.
Gail Tverberg, who presented the latest information on peak oil and the relationship between oil depletion and economic collapse.
Anything new there?
Yeah, right. She manages the blog Our Finite World. Dmitry Orlov presented his new book, The Five Stages of Collapse, and he also did a presentation on communities that abide, with emphasis on communities that want to have children in order to perpetuate the species. Now, that was a very controversial presentation.
Wow.
Stirred the pot in a lot of discussion.
Wow, I bet it did.
Yeah, and then John Michael Greer, again, back from last year, presented on the longer and more protracted aspects of collapse, and then he gave a second presentation on lodges, granges, and a variety of secret societies that have, through the years, provided tangible assistance to their members and the community in times of need.
Mm-hmm.
I presented a workshop on love in the long emergency, the relationships we need to survive, which is the title of the book I'm currently working on. I also conducted a public optional grief observance on Saturday night, which was attended by 44 people. That's about a third of the attendance.
How appropriate.
And many people absolutely loved it, and it really gave them a place to share their feelings about the deeply distressing state of the planet. And probably the most overwhelming and difficult to hear presentation, of course, was Guy McPherson's exploration of near-term extinction and the discussion of his new DVD, Somewhere in New Mexico Before the End of Time, which is a beautiful, beautiful piece of work, as you know.
You have a career in broadcasting, Carolyn, I'm sure.
That's what some people tell me. But let me just share just a bit of my personal reactions.
Sure, please.
In terms of the presenters, the conference offered quality speakers with superb information, but there's a lot of discomfort now with the format. I'm on the planning committee for next year, and we're endeavoring to explore formats that provide an alternative to the straightforward lecture, PowerPoint, Q&A format, which leaves people with an overload of information but no way to process their feelings about what they've heard. I mean,
exactly.
What do you say after you've heard Guy McPherson? Let's go to dinner?
That's the stuff I used to get when I was lecturing back a decade ago. Absolutely. No,
yeah.
I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, and so for next year, we're looking at running process groups in between sessions, repeating the grief observance next year, and incorporating more dialogue and less lecture so that the emphasis is more on our connections with each other in the face of collapse.
What do you do in the grief workshop?
Many people do a lot of different things. What I do is, and I don't want to go into it tonight on the broadcast, but essentially it is a replica of a West African funeral in which people experience pouring out their grief to a particular shrine that we have created and then coming back to the rest of the community and being supported for being in their grief and having the experience of really connecting with each other. It was a beautiful experience.
That's the one thing that human, industrial, cultural, the old civilization, the old paradigm, the old meme never wanted us to do was to see each other in pain.
Right.
Unless, of course, we're watching vicarious torture in a vampire movie. That's
right.
Different. But
right.
To interact with each other as human beings and being in the space with someone who is in pain.
Yeah, and it's so powerful and so healing, and it just moved the tectonic plates of everyone who was there.
All right, everybody, I just want to let you know that we're opening this up early for phone calls. If you want to ask Carolyn or me a question, please. It's been a while since we've opened the phone lines up, and I know a lot of you are having a lot of feelings right now. We want to get there and see what we can talk through. The number to call To talk to Carolyn or to me is 1-888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. Okay, coming back to you, Carolyn. Los Angeles, the shooting in Santa Monica hit me like a truck.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and of course I had my own weave with that because that's where I was when I was trying to warn people that this stuff was coming, you know. And yet to be so woven into, as the intersections were called, Cloverfield, Ocean Park, I was like, whoa. And I looked at the pictures and I saw two people I recognized in the witness photographs. And boy, it just knocked me down. But then I realized that I was grieving for a lot more than just my home.
Yes. And, you know, it's there's something going on very deep in the collective unconscious with young people doing this on college campuses. I mean, we could theorize about a lot of things, you know, like the student loan situation and going out and there's no jobs there and all of that. But something is going on when in these institutions of learning, which are, you know, paragons supposedly of wisdom, we have this violence and savage behavior. It really is quite stunning.
It really hits hard. And I also had the same thing about San Onofre. Like San Onofre was a landmark, you know, from the time I'm 17 years old.
Right.
You know, and to realize that's like one down and 440 to go.
Exactly. Yeah.
But what I'm seeing, especially through my Facebook interactions, and we have a caller we'll get to in just a second, is that people are also starting to grasp their deep connectedness to what's going on in Turkey. And I'm getting a real sense. I made this comment on Facebook today. It's like, during Occupy, we had the slogan, the whole world is watching, the whole world is watching. And what I wrote today was, well, this time we have to do more than watch.
Right.
And I'm seeing, are you perceiving that also? What's your read on the emotions and the power behind Turkey? Real quick, and then we'll get to Joanne in Ontario.
I certainly think that people are empathizing with this. It's hitting them like a ton of bricks, like you said. And I would like to talk a little bit also after the question about this young man, Ed Snowden, who just came out from the NSA as a whistleblower and put his life on the line. He's looking for asylum. He said, I might get taken out, but this is what I have to do. And just a courageous, courageous act on his part.
Well, that's doing the right thing in the face of fear. Let's talk to Joanne in Ontario, because I have a feeling her question may be touching on that. Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Mike. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Hi, Joanne.
Thank you for your book. It's been such a landmark for me and just helping me realize that I'm not alone.
Wonderful.
But I think one thing I just really want to say, which is my heartfelt truth, is that I am so scared. I through the tears and the grieving, I'm just so scared. I just don't know what to do with my fear.
What are you scared of?
Well, I'm doing it all on my own. Most people think I'm insane. I mean, I know Mike's been through this most of his adult life, that no one really wants to hear the truth. And I'm having to do this all on my own. So I'm afraid that I'm doing this all on my own.
Well, you need to really connect with people. I don't know where you are. Toronto area?
Up in Northern Ontario.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, somehow, some way, you got to get yourself connected, whether that's online or whether that's in person, because even just if you have one ally, it's gonna decrease the fear to a large extent.
Yeah.
It's gonna make you feel completely different than you do now. And if you have two or three allies, so much the better.
Yeah.
That's why this conference was so powerful, is because there are 150 of us in the woods, outdoors, in this beauty, and able to hold on to each other and know that we're not crazy and know that we're in this together. So I really want to suggest hooking up with other people in some way.
Thank you. I am in the process of doing that. It's also the fear of not knowing what this is going to look like and how it's going to all play out, you know?
Yep.
Well, this is where my lessons as a warrior and as a scout, you teach me that you have to walk towards your fear, meaning that not that you have to, you know, like, whoopee, let's go, let's, you know, I'm going to lose my water, so I'll cut it off a day or no. what I'm saying is that you have to hold that in your consciousness and be aware of your fear as you move and act throughout the day. And you will over time kind of become friends with it or partner with it. and it will serve you. Don't turn the fear into a shadow.
Yeah.
That's a fear that's not faced, which will certainly bite you on the butt later on. But you know what? It's perfectly okay to be scared. I'm
mm-hmm.
scared,
yep.
and people have accused me of being a brave guy. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm scared shitless.
You're not paying attention if you're not a little bit afraid or a lot afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think half the battle, though, sometimes is not to let that fear paralyze
absolutely
us. Mm-hmm.
And use that fear, then, as pressure on one edge of the blade of your consciousness, which is sharpened against the other edge, which is your determination to hold the focus of love and to walk toward this.
Mm-hmm.
And to face it, and to keep ears open for what you can do to make it better. And that's why Turkey, I think, is such a wonderful thing right now.
Yes. Yeah, very inspiring. Yeah, thank you both. That's why I certainly needed to hear that.
Cool.
Take care.
Thank you.
All
take
right.
care. Bye now.
We are down almost to the bottom of the hour. Let's talk for a minute or so. 1-888-874-4888. We like calls like this. This is a good time to make those calls. Anyway, I'm like talking to you, Carol, like I'm just kind of, you know, decompressing. And as I've been watching Turkey, I have seen enormous courage, enormous senses of humor, just really inspiring stuff straight out of Les Misérables, you know,
right.
That's just so inspiring.
I've been watching quite a bit on RT, as I'm sure you have been too,
yeah,
and
indeed.
Just some wonderful stories.
Good coverage by RT. They're asking the questions nobody else. Well, who cares if RT is state-owned? I mean, we know what we get here where all the media is in the U.S. is owned by corporations. We get bullshit.
Yes.
But I cannot psychologically, and maybe we'll let you think about this over the break, figure out Tayyip Erdogan. He is psychotic. He is, his statements that the people are terrorists and he's doing this because everybody in Taksim Square wants to drink beer in mosques. I mean, the guy is out of his mind. He's violent and he's dangerous. Why don't you ponder that for a minute? And
we'll
ask you to talk to the psyche of Tayyip Erdogan right after we get back from these messages. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth, here on the Lifeboat Hour on the Progressive Radio Network. We're going to let Miss Diane Patterson take us into the break and bring us back.
Mike Fader. Let me tell you about PRN.FM. It's a whole new world of broadcasting. PRN has absolutely no question the best political and economic shows on the radio. Plus, PRN tops every other station in its health and wellness program. Cooking, music, book reviews, sex advice, you name it, we have it. I'm going to tell you this one time. You need to listen to our programming, okay? All right? Don't make me come down here.
Hi, everyone. I'm Bobby Elias with a PRN show called Let's Create a Better World. We're going to do this in English and in Spanish at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, half an hour English, then at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Time in Spanish. We're going to cover a lot of issues on health, activism, and the arts. If you miss any shows, you can check us on the archive. Don't forget, every Saturday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time, the Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope that you're coming with us.
I'm Glenn Ford.
And I'm Nellie Bailey.
Co-hosts of Black Agenda Radio. And you're listening to
PRN,
your source for progressive political viewpoints.
What we can't give, we are honoring the First Nations and learning from the ancient ones.
That is my good friend, and she's been a regular on the show many times. Her music, Diane Patterson, taking us out and bringing us back with High Sierra Morning. It's one of the most moving songs I have ever heard. We have not heard the last of Diane Patterson. No, we have not. She has a new CD coming out, Build a Bridge, which looks to be just monster. And I think I can probably scheme to get her to come back on the show sometime in the near future for an all-musical show. And we'll do cuts from New White Trash's new album, Age of Authority, which is... thank all spirits and Mother Earth and our muses. Looks like we're going to get some amazing reviews very soon, and the album will be released in July. And I'm going to ask you to buy it because it's worth it, and you can give us some help there. That's newwhitetrash.com. Anyway, that's the music stuff. We are back with my dear friend Carolyn Baker, and we have a caller, I believe, on the line. Hold on to that stuff about Tayyip Erdogan, who we can psychoanalyze in a minute. We have Jonathan from Pennsylvania, who's been on the line for hold throughout the break. So let's get him on. Jonathan, you there?
Yeah, hello, Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Another day.
All right. Hey, Carolyn Baker, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
All right. I had no intention of calling tonight until I heard Joanne from Ontario, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say, Joanne, I know exactly how you feel. I mean, it's so hard to find people in my area that understand this kind of stuff. I mean, I've had a guy who worked for Google for years, who's really good at, like, networking and stuff, look into it for me in the Philadelphia area, and it's pretty bleak. And I just wanted to say, instead of just complaining about it, if I could just make an announcement on your show that if anybody in the Philadelphia area who understands peak oil, understands population overshoot, understands what's going on right in front of their face, if they could call me at 484-802-1358. My name's Jonathan. My number is 484-802-1358. Anybody, because I'd really like to meet some people of like mind around me.
Damn, that's the way to do it.
Thanks, Jonathan.
All right, thanks.
Well, what do we got to lose? You afraid someone's going to know your telephone number now? I mean, I'm sorry, I just turned into a black man, Carolyn. I got to go with this. All this stuff come up about the snooping and the spying and all this stuff, and you afraid to give out your number? Everybody's got your number. They've been doing it since 2001. It's no big surprise, these revelations now. Not at all. I wrote about it in Rubicon. We were all over at FTW. Some of us bled and risked our lives to describe the state, which you're just now discovering. It's been here for a decade.
Right.
Anyway, okay. Sorry, I just had to go off on that. Carolyn, we have another caller. Let's go to that. Hold on to your Tayyip Erdogan.
Sure.
You can dump all over him when you want to. But contractor Jim is on the phone. He's from Ohio. What's up, Jim?
Oh, I talked to you, I think, briefly May 29th, right before you had a dinner going on.
This year?
Yes. Yeah, this year. I've been at it for a long time, listening to what the heck's going on, and even one assignment way back in the 1970s with Atlas Powder Company, so I had my nose in the air smelling the lie when the Oklahoma City bombing took place.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we showed the biggest, a noble lie, I should say, the noble lie, which was covered, of course, on John B. Wells' program last year in January and again on the anniversary in April.
Yep.
We showed that the first half in December, the second half in January on a We the People meeting on the east side of Akron. God, I knew through four of the guys that were already speaking parts in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there have been so many crimes since then. I remember meeting General Ben Parton, retired Air Force Brigadier General, and I come from an Air Force family, right after it happened, and having him do the math right there in front of us. And, you know, but we've had, so we fell for 9/11, we fell for, we've fallen for everything. We haven't stood up yet.
Well, I didn't file for a lot of different things over the years. I quit filing all tax returns around 1978, and at that time I was working at the main battle tank plant when it was under construction here in Ohio.
Okay, did you have a question for Carolyn tonight? Because I've got some calls stacking up, and we don't want to waste her while she's here.
No, I called in blind. I wanted to send to Michael Rupert there in Colorado some more information this week. I was wondering if there's anything of a particular interest I'd try to attend to that.
Well, all I'm focused on right now is turkey, and that, and I am preparing to attend a Sundance in the Black Hills on the Pine Ridge Reservation for summer solstice, and that's got all of my attention right now. I don't need to read any more material. Anyway, thank you for calling, Jim. Okay. Carolyn, let's get this Tayyip Erdogan psychoanalysis done.
Well,
quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I gave up working in the mental hospital a long time ago. it's just kind of boring to try to analyze psychotics. The guy is crazy. He reminds me of a lot of Mubarak in Egypt with significant differences. Power is the most addictive drug in the world, and the guy is obviously really trying to maintain that position. And, you know, this country is trying to, the powers that be in it are trying to remain or to make the country solely religious, mm-hmm. and the people are really, you know, rebelling against this. They want to be a secular society, and it's just not going to work. They may repress and kill a lot of people, but ultimately they're going to fail.
I think Tayyip Erdogan's chief bumper sticker ought to be the beatings will continue until morale improves.
Right.
You know, and that's all he's got is a hammer, so everything out there is a nail.
Yeah.
We have another caller, Ed from Kingston, New York. That sounds like a dial tone to me. Okay, that's gone. Okay, so we do not have an Ed. Okay, so let's go back to that. Now, clearly, as I have looked at this stuff and as I've been writing for a long time, we know that Turkey is essential to U.S.-NATO plans to implement regime change in Syria, which would be the start of World War III. We know that Iran and Russia are bound to support Bashar al-Assad in Syria. There's a joint pact, iron set in stone, between Syria and Iran. The Russians have a naval base there. The Chinese are bound to back. So all of this is on the cliff, and the whole world is rushing to madness. And one of the takes that I had on this was that the people in Turkey have really upset some other psychotic plans for Syria, namely Barack Obama, David Cameron, Angela Merkel, and a few other people. Now, here's my question. I just wonder if all of these so-called Western powers, who are all working for the banks anyway, are certainly they are just as crazy, but are they as totally blind to what he's doing there?
I don't know. I can't answer that. And I was also wondering, what are the resource factors in Turkey? Do you know about pipelines and that sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, actually, Syria is more critical for a pipeline that's meant to come up from the region because Russia has had, and we wrote about this at FTW, you remember back in the day, Russia has had a stranglehold on Europe's energy supply, especially during winter, because Russia supplies all of the natural gas. They broke the Ukraine's back. They have flexed their muscles many times with that. And one of the so-called hubristic holy grails pursued by the infinite growth people in the West was a pipeline that would weaken Russia's control of the European markets. But, you know, they're total fools. But Turkey is critical because any attack on Syria, a no-fly cannot be implemented unless Turkey's fully in the game.
Right.
Period. Turkey is NATO. The U.S. has nukes there. We have major air force bases in Syria, like all over the place. Cyprus is an aircraft carrier, the Turkish part of Cyprus, to be used to implement no-fly over Syria and also to launch attacks when that time comes against Iran. So I was attending a medicine ceremony this week at a sweat lodge here in Crestone. And it occurred to me during this that the Turkish people now, the strength and the resilience they're showing, are probably derailing the West's plan to implement regime change, which means that those people in that square are really carrying the hopes and dreams of probably all 7 billion of us.
That's right. That's right. I would agree with that. Yeah.
So
and
what,
that's hard to wrap your mind around.
Yeah, no, it is, but it's becoming clearer. And what I'm really grateful to be seeing is I think a lot of other people out there are really understanding that Turkey may be the last shot we have.
Mm-hmm.
Because the inertia to build a movement to this place, and I just see that my friend Ralph Shulman has just published, I haven't read it yet, an essay saying this is becoming a global uprising, and Ralph Shulman's a cool guy. But I sense that. But I sense that hopefully the collective consciousness can grasp that if they fail in Turkey and are defeated, there will never be another Occupy. There'll be never be another uprising like this.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what are you up to next? What's on your agenda? What are you doing, and how are you taking care of yourself these days?
Well, thanks for asking. I am working on another book, which I hope to be coming out in 2014-15, on relationships and the long emergency. That's actually love and the long emergency, the relationships we need to survive. So I'm working hard on that this summer. Mm-hmm. My next book will be Collapsing Consciously, which will be coming out in November, part of Andrew Harvey's Sacred Activism series. If you ever wanted like a day-by-day guide of something, some words to kind of hold your hand as you go through this, that's what this book is. Mm. And there will be a hard copy version and an e-book version, and they'll be different. So you get it one way or the other. The other thing is that on June 21st, I'm going to be going to Los Angeles and speaking on the 22nd, doing a workshop there on the 22nd on the inner transition, and that's going to be at the Holy Nativity Church. And I'll be speaking on the Sunday morning service at Holy Nativity the next day.
Now, all of this information is available on your website?
It is, absolutely.
CarolynBaker.net?
CarolynBaker.net, absolutely.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm glad to see you out there spreading it around because, you know, whether we like it or not, we're the elders, huh?
Yep, we are. And, you know, it's been really an honor to be invited to a place like Los Angeles and to a church, actually, that is doing some amazing, amazing things in terms of permaculture, community gardening, taking care of the people in the community. I'm really proud to have been invited by these folks.
Okay. That's all cool. Now it's about time for another song here.
Okay.
And so this will be your song, a song that you picked. And the last time we did the show together was when I was up in Boulder.
Yep.
And you wanted the same song, which I totally get and I totally love. I've done that a few times on this show where I've played the same song several times in a row. But you wanted to take us back to a song by Adele called Skyfall. Why is the song so important to you?
Well, just the lyrics. I mean, yes, I know it was a James Bond song. It was a theme for that movie. But if you listen carefully, she's talking about when the sky falls, we're going to stand tall and hold our hands together. And it really goes back to Joanne's question earlier on in the show. So that's why I love it.
Excellent. Let's hear Adele sing. In the meantime, you want to call in for our last calls, 1-888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And now here is Adele bringing us Skyfall.
This is the end. Hold your breath and count to 10. Feel the earth move and then hear my heart burst again, for this is the end. I'm drowned and dreamt this moment, so overdue.
it on, bring it on. That was Adele and Skyfall. That was, yeah, okay. So I totally get where that song comes from, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, stand tall and face it all together.
Kind of makes you want to be sure you have somebody there to stand tall with.
You betcha.
And I hope everybody does, but if you don't, do not give up hope.
That's right.
Yeah, you might meet in the last 30 minutes, and that might be the best 30 minutes of your life anyway.
Right.
Guy McPherson's talk at the Age of Limits, I watched it online. And how did the audience play out after that? What did all the people do? Did they drink hemlock, run for a joint? Did they go out, you know, what?
Well, you know, the conversations kind of ranged from some levels of denial, like, well, I don't know if the science is really that dire, to, you know, this whispering of, well, what are some of the most humane ways of suicide? So it is quite a continuum of conversation. But, I mean, the mood was very heavy. There was a pall of grief, and you couldn't cut it with a chainsaw. And then, ironically, strangely, people did go from there to dinner, and the conversations were very interesting. But there's a wonderful interview of Guy that is on his site at Nature Bats Last that was done by one of the conference participants, Ed Kerr. And he's sitting down with Guy that very day, one-to-one, and it is certainly worth listening to.
Oh, great. Thank you for bringing that up. We got a caller out of the song, and actually it was because of the song.
Cool.
Chris, in West Virginia. West Virginia, that's where my mom was born and raised, in Clay County. Are you there? Hello, Chris. Hello, Chris.
Call us back, Chris.
Okay, all I had here was a note from the studio saying about the Adele song. So it's comforting to know when something that you choose to share emotionally, when you get the feedback that that's resonating with someone else, that you're being heard.
Absolutely.
That you're being seen and that you're being received.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it says.
Yeah, I am.
Chris, are you there?
Hello. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can
Chris.
Hear you.
Hey.
Turn your volume down.
Okay.
Turn your volume down on the radio. Just stay on the phone.
All right.
Okay.
Talk to us, Chris.
Well?
Hmm.
Okay. The song moved her. It said she is gone. Well, all you know sometimes is that you cast some bread on the water and you don't know where it lands or how.
You know, one day I was just driving down the road and heard that. I had never heard it before and heard it on the radio. And I'm just going, who made this song about collapse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, there was a James Bond movie, I think the one before this, that was all about the privatization of the water tables in Bolivia, and in, you know, which is all the big news now.
Right.
And, of course, we should emphasize that they're destroying water everywhere, and water is rapidly becoming apparent as the number one threat for the amount used for fracking, tar sands,
Absolutely.
Shale oil, ethanol,
yep.
and everything else. We have a call. We have time. Lee, girl, Washington State, are you there?
Yes.
We have you. Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine, thanks.
Okay, what's the James Bond movie? I think the one before this that was on.
You want me to talk
Turn
about?
The radio
yeah.
down.
Okay.
Turn the computer down. Stay on the phone.
Oh, sorry. I have three concerns. Not a lot of fear, just have accepted that. But I'm trying to write a letter to the editor about we're in a redneck town that's probably the only one in Washington that's open-armed, accepting the coal port, the big coal ports there that they want to... and I noticed on Carolyn's site today they had a Huffington Post video on coal, and she's had a lot of articles on the tipping point of humanity and everything, and I thought maybe I could incorporate something, but I thought if you guys had a couple of words that I could use for a letter to the editor, I'd ask you that. And then the other thing, I'm concerned about the radiation from Japan and what it's doing, destroying the sea and...
We have 3 minutes left. Carolyn, please go ahead.
Well, yeah, I report on this almost every day in my Daily News Digest about Fukushima. You know, I don't have any specific suggestions about that, other than you might consider relocation. But I do believe, as Mike has talked about, you know, it isn't just the west coast of the United States. It's a lot of other places. And it has, the leaks really haven't stopped. And I guess the words I would have for your editor is near-term extinction. you know, and
are you blind? Yes.
Yeah. And direct him to Guy's website and also to my specific article, The Sixth Great Extinction, which you can Google and find on my website, which has all the science coordinated together.
And let me throw in here, Lee, that I am seeing some news stations really step up, local news stations. There's a Channel 10, an ABC affiliate in San Diego that jumped all over San Onofre, did investigative journalism, got the pictures of the brooms and stuff and all that, you know, the broomsticks and the tapes. And it was an ABC affiliate in L.A. and other local stations got all over this and did some killer journalism. It's like the local stations are starting to wake up to this. So if you have local stations, you want to find a reporter there who's got their head halfway out of their butt and start reaching out to them. I'm kind of surprised at what I'm seeing coming out of local TV.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great. And then what about martial law?
What about it?
Well,
there are not enough troops in the entire United States military to impose martial law all over the country. Put that way down on the list.
They're bringing in foreign troops. I heard.
No, they are not. No. That's an Alex Jones piece of disinformation that has been around for a decade, and quite frankly, I'm sick of it, and I'm sick of liars who perpetrate it. All the foreign troops are being used to take care of problems in the foreign countries.
Right.
Well,
the plan is to leave everybody on their own and let everybody starve in a chaotic situation that's unpoliced because it don't cost any money.
Yeah, that's true. So have your food supply.
Do that. I do.
Your own.
Yeah. Track me on Facebook. There's just a huge community there. I'm full up on friends, but you can follow and you can connect with other people there. Go to Carolyn's website. There's a lot of quickening going on. There's a lot of people who want to help you if you can. We're getting close to the end of the show. Lee, I want to thank you for calling in, though. I really appreciate
thank
that.
Thank you for calling.
Both of you do. Thank you.
Okay. Cool. Carolyn, we got a minute left. All right. So, Elder, we'll call you Auntie. we're sitting around a fire, and we have all of our youngers looking at us. Well, you got 30 seconds to tell them what they should start to do during the next week and where they should focus.
Well, I go back to a younger that we both know and love, Matt Savinar.
Mm.
And at the top of his website, that used to be his website, he had this quote, "Deal with reality or reality will deal with you."
Amen and hallelujah. This has been a great show. Carolyn, thank you so much for coming back.
Thank
you. This is Michael C. Rupert, Tracker of Truth. We'll be back again next week. And I think I'll be here, but I may have to take a week off when I go to Sundance, but I'll keep you posted. In the meantime, stay alive. Keep your face to the sun. You'll see fewer shadows. Good night.
So fast.